Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is where I am in my calendar. I am now going to the SEC Network when I turn my TV on to see if they're showing an old game. And and I'm going to watch an old college football game over just about anything else at this point.
You're officially a junkie, that's what you're telling me.
I am. SEC Media Days. So the SEC Media, who gets this thing right 6 times out of every 26 years, picked Alabama to win the championship.
Right, and everybody thought last year. You know, it's easy to forget, too, with Alabama winning the national title last year.
That they didn't win the SEC.
Right, and everyone picked them to win. I mean, they were a prohibitive favorite to win the SEC title last year, but did not. Georgia, of course, won it. So, yeah, we forget that. But, no, it's it hasn't been a great track record by the media. There's the Media Days picking the SEC champion, which tells you that maybe the league is a little bit more balanced than it's given credit for across the country. A little bit more unpredictable. Yes, Alabama's been dominant, and everybody in the country is chasing Alabama, not just the SEC, not just the upper tier in the league, but everybody chasing Nick Saban in Alabama. I mean, how many coaches, period? I was looking at this the other day. How many active coaches, period, that are coaching, currently coaching in college football have beat Saban? Not a lot of them. You know, Whittingham at Utah, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, Dabo at Clemson. I'm talking about outside the SEC. Gus is the only current coach now in the SEC that's beaten him, and he's beaten him twice. In fact, I think Gus is responsible, I'm talking about Gus Malzahn, obviously at Auburn, is responsible for 2 of Nick's 5 SEC losses over the last 5 years. Or maybe it's 2 of his 4 losses over the last 5 years.
Looking at the votes in the East and the West, obviously Alabama comes out on top in the West, most championship votes. No surprise, Georgia in the East. But I was surprised to see Tennessee and Kentucky each get a first place vote, correct?
Yeah, I was too. I was too. Now, have we done any intel on and who voted the Vols and the Wildcats number 1 in the East?
No, I mean, but we did find out that Spironis made Spurrier's pick when. When he didn't vote Tebow first team all SEC.
You know, I can't believe you brought up Jamie Spironis' name, because I promise you this is true. Spironis called me 2 days ago, and I wanted to know how the voting was going down at SEC Media Days, which obviously picked it at his former boss, the head ball coach, who threw Spironis under the bus back in 2009 when he didn't pick Tebow, the only coach. You guys were there. I still remember that. As every coach came to the podium as we got into the second, third day, the first thing they would say was, oh, and by the way, I did vote for Tim Tebow as quarterback, because that became everybody's mission in the media that year to find out who did not vote for Tebow. Now, I don't know if we'll get that same kind of fervor finding out who voted for the Cats, the Vols, number 1 in the East, but it is surprising.
Chris, South Carolina, they're a trendy pick. Are they the kind of trendy pick that's still going to be trendy mid-season, or do you think they're a little bit overrated right now?
You know, I don't think they're overrated. I just don't think they've got everything. The guns are equipped to beat Georgia. Now, they play early in the season, so we're going to find out how they stack up. I like their quarterback, Bentley. They're going to be better on defense. They've got more depth, I think, than they've had. Will has recruited to that depth. And talking to him in the offseason, I know that was a big priority of his, is try to build that depth and to be able to. Once you get into the latter part of the schedule and you lose guys, you don't just drop off. So I think they're more equipped, to be in that race. I just don't think they're there yet and ready to beat Georgia. I do think they're going to have a good football team. You guys still won 9 games last year. And, Will Muschamp's an example of a guy. When he got the job at South Carolina, there were a lot of people around college football, even a lot of Gamecocks fans that I heard from. They said, Will Muschamp, guy, he's a retread. He didn't get it done at Florida. If you can't get it done at Florida, how are you going to get it done here? Well, sometimes it's just not the timing's wrong or it's not the right fit. Sometimes you get unlucky. I think he got some bad luck with some of his injuries. He was never really able to get it right at quarterback, but nobody really has since he left there at Florida. But I've always thought Will was a good, solid football coach who would put together, and I think this is the most important part, would put together a really strong recruiting operation. I think that's what they've done in South Carolina.
Chris Lowe, our guest. Chris, it was interesting to hear Aaron Murray's comments about Jeremy Pruitt and his relationship with Mark Richt. And he hinted at things, but he didn't say anything in particular. Then David Pollack came on and really kind of doubled down on very disrespectful, but no instances. I mean, sometimes coworkers, I don't care what you do, if you're coaching football or selling cars or making pizzas or whatever, you don't always get along with your coworker. You don't always get along with your boss. Sometimes there's some back and forth. What actually went down? What is there to this?
Well, first of all, we've all heard those stories that when Jeremy was on the staff under Mark Richt, that maybe he wasn't the most respectful, or he stepped on some toes, or was pretty pointed at times. But here's a news flash, and I know both Aaron and David very well. You know, Jeremy Pruitt doesn't really care about stepping on toes. I can promise you that. You know, he's going to step on toes. He's the bull of the china shop. And that's sort of the way he is. That's the way he's been. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know how to treat people. I'm not saying that at all. I think if you're going to recruit at the level that Jeremy has recruited at, and granted it's been as an assistant coach to this point, then you certainly got to know how to treat people. But he's not really concerned about hurting somebody's feelings or stepping on toes or being too direct. Now, I wonder where he gets that from. I wonder who he's worked for in the past that is sort of like that. And maybe Tennessee needs that. You know, in fact, you talked to a lot of people there at Tennessee. They'll tell you they do need that. He's exactly what they're going to need. But here's in defending Pollack and Aaron Murray a little bit, there are a lot of people in the profession, you know, that I've talked to that were there, who've told similar stories that Jeremy was not sometimes the most respectful to Mark Richt, you know, there on the staff. But maybe Georgia needed to be shaken up a little bit. Maybe that program in you look at Kirby. I mean, Kirby's not a guy either that's really concerned whether or not he steps on toes or not. And They played the national championship game last year. So there's always two sides to every story. This is what I know about Jeremy Pruitt, though, is he fits the mold of the kind of coach that Philip Fulmer wanted to bring into Tennessee. A guy that can recruit, a guy that's relentless, a guy that has an edge to him, that is a bite-back kind of guy, and isn't afraid to, as I said a minute ago, step on toes.
Interesting that the confidence level of Darren Mason at SEC Media Days, he predicted a bounce-back year, according to Adam Sparks with Tennessee, and told the media to, quote, watch out.
Well, you know what, and good for Derek. I thought last year, I know he said it wasn't the Alabama game that took it out of him. He thought it was the physicality of that Kansas State game, and I was at that game when they beat Kansas State, and at the time it was a big win. It still is a big win. I was also at that Alabama game. I was at both those games last year, and whether that's the one or K-State took it out of them, they clearly were not the same team after that. And I think the fact that Derek is not going to be the defensive coordinator, even though he's a very, very good defensive mind, I think that gives him more freedom, you know, to coach his entire football team, take care of some things. I know that he feels like the kinds of kids they've recruited, the levels they've recruited, he feels better about that. But, you know, good for him. And I think your kids are certainly, after a season like this, or like last year, the first thing the kids are watching for is their head coach. Their head coach is, you know, if he's sort of in a shell and he's guarded, and whether he's talking to the media, whether you're there in the summer off-season workouts, whether you're getting ready to go into preseason camp, then they feel that. So I think his energy and his excitement and looking forward to this season and sort of, you know, hey, this is what we have. This is what I think we're going to do. And hey, watch out. I think his kids certainly want to see that, and that's what they expect to hear from their head football coach.
Chris, how interested are you or curious are you to see how Ole Miss does this year when you look at the fact that obviously they're going to be playing every week as almost a spoiler, but they're going to score a lot of points. I am super intrigued to watch the Rebels this year. How are you going to be viewing them as we start this season?
Well, you nailed it. They're the team that really nobody's going to want to play, because you're exactly right. They don't have anything to lose, and they are going to score a ton of points. And their receiving core, you know, and I think Diamu is one of those guys that, you know, he's probably not a household name now, But what a great story, you know, when you look at sort of where he came from and what he's did and what he's done to this point, how he finished last season. And again, the cast of receivers he has to throw to. I'll bet you Ole Miss beats somebody. They will pull a major upset. You know, I'm not going to predict who it is, but they're going to beat somebody, at least one team this coming season that directly impacts who wins the SEC, who wins the West, who wins the SEC championship. I think they're that dangerous offensively. And I tell you, that first game against Texas Tech, that might be 62-60.
It might be.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for those that don't know, I mean, A.J. Brown at receiver, I mean, you're right. The receiver core might be the best in the country.
Yeah, Metcalf and Lockhart, special. I mean, they've got three guys that could play anywhere. And all of them are a little bit different. So they're going to be a tough look. You know, you look at their September. I mentioned the Texas Tech game. They get Alabama at home in week three. Mm-hmm. And then they end September at LSU.
I love that matchup right there.
That game right there, I mean, you start talking about, you know, what an important this season this is for Ed Orgeron and LSU. That game right there, I think, is about as pivotal a game as LSU is going to play this year. Now, we'll see what happened in the first game. You know, of course, that's a big one. But that's one, when you look at it and circle it and say, depending on where LSU is at that point, that if that's one that the Tigers lose at home, and I think certainly with Ole Miss's offense, is possible, then it could get pretty ugly for the Tigers the rest of the way at Orgeron.
Always love it, Chris, man. We're getting closer. Appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
Same to you guys. Take care.
All right, Chris Lowe at CLO ESPN every Friday. When we get into college football season, he'll join us on Mondays and Fridays. Again, coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll visit with Phil Steele from 4 until 4:30.